ಒಪ್ಪಿ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗೋಪಿ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ರಜನರಂಜನ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ರಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ತೀರವನ್ನ ಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನ ತೀರವನ್ನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ಗಾಧಾಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜನವಲ್ಲಭ ಗಿರಿವರ ಧಾರಿ ಯಶೋದನಂದನ ರಜನರಂಜನ ಯಮುನ ತೀರವನ್ನ ಚಾರಿ ಯಮುನ ತೀರವನ್ನ ಚಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಜಯ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವ ಕುಂಜ ವಿಹಾರಿ ಓಂ ವಿಷ್ಣುಪಾದ ಪರಮಹಂಸ ತ್ರಿಭುಜಾಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಅಷ್ಟೋತ್ತರ ಶತ ಶಿಶುಮಾ ಇಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿವ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಇಸ್ಕಾನ್ ಬಿಬಿಟಿ ಸಂಸ್ಥಾಪಕಾಚಾರ್ಯ ಇಸ್ ಡಿವೈನ್ ಗ್ರೇಸ್ ಎಸಿ ಭಕ್ತಿ ವೇದಾಂತ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಶಿವ ಪ್ರಭುಪಾದ ಕೀ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಾಂ ಕೀ ಜಯ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಟು ದಿ ಅಸೆಂಬಲ್ ಡಿವೋಟೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಗ್ಲೋರೀಸ್ All glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. ನಾರಂಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವಿಂ ಸರಸ್ವತಿಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಾಯಮುದೀರಯೇ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷು ಅಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತೀ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಿಕಿ. ಸೊ ವಿ ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಶ್ರೀಮದ್ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ 4 chapter 16, texts 11 to 14. I'll read from text 11 to 13, and then we'll read text 14. Some of these texts have small purports. Durasado durvishaha asannopi vidura vat naivabhi bhavitum shakyo venarani utthito nala. Translation: King Prithu was born of the dead body of King Vena, as fire is produced from arani wood. Thus King Prithu will always remain just like fire, and his enemies will not be able to approach him. Indeed, he will be unbearable to his enemies, for all those staying very near him, they will never be able to approach him, but will have to remain as if far away. No one will be able to overcome the strength of King Prithu. Purport: Arni wood is a kind of fuel used to ignite fire by friction. At the time of performing sacrifices, one can ignite a fire from arani wood. Although born of his dead father, King Prithu would still remain just like fire. Just as fire is not easily approached, King Prithu would be unapproachable by his enemies, even though they would appear to be very near him. Text 12. Antar bahischa bhutanam pashyan karmani cha charane udasina ivadyaksho vayur atme vadehinam. Anta, internally. Okay, a translation. King Prithu will be able to see all the internal and external activities of every one of his citizens. Still, no one will be able to know his system of espionage, and he himself will remain neutral regarding all matters of glorification or vilification paid to him. He will be exactly like air, the life force within the body, which is exhibited internally and externally, but is always neutral to all affairs. Na dandyam dandyayati esha. Text 13. Na dandyam dandyayati esha sutam atma dvisham api dandyati atmajam api dandyam dharma patestita. Translation: Since this king will always remain on the path of piety, he will be neutral to both his son and the son of his enemy. If the son of his enemy is not punishable, he will not punish him. But if his own son is punishable, he will immediately punish him. Purport: These are the characteristics of an impartial ruler. It is the duty of a ruler to punish the criminal and give protection to the innocent. King Prithu was so neutral that if his own son were punishable, he would not hesitate to punish him. On the other hand, if the son of his enemy were innocent, he would not engage in some intrigue in order to punish him. Because now we come to text 14. Asya pratihatam chakram Prithur Amanas Shachala Vartate Bhagavan Arko Yavat Tapati Gogane Asya Pratihatam Chakram Prithur Amana Salachala Amana Sachala Vartate Bhagavan Arko Yavata Pati Gogane Asya Pratihatam Chakram Pitor Amana Sachala Vartate Bhagavan Arko Yavata Pati Gogane Asya Pratihatam Chakram Pritor Amana Sachalat Vartate Bhagavan Arko Yavata Pati Gogane Chakram Pritora Mana Sachala Vartate Bhagavan Arho Yavata Pati Gogane Vartate Bhagavan Arho Yavata Pati Gogane Matajis Sapati Hatam Chakram Vitora Manasachala Vartate Bhagavan Arko Yavata Pati Gogane Asya, of this king, apratihatam, not being impeded, chakram, the circle of influence, pritho, of king prithu, amanasa achalat, up to manasa mountain, vartate, remains Bhagavan, the most powerful, Arkaha, sun god, Yavat, just as, Tapati, shines, Gogane, with rays of light. Translation, just as the sun god expands his shining rays up to the Arctic region without impedance, the influence of King Prithu will cover all tracts of land up to the Arctic region and will remain undisturbed as long as he lives. Purport. Although the Arctic region is not visible to ordinary persons, the sun shines there without impediment. Just as no one can check the sunshine from spreading all over the universe, no one could check the influence and reign of King Prithu, which would remain undisturbed as long as he lived. The conclusion is that the sunshine and the sun god cannot be separated, nor could King Prithu and his ruling strength be separated. His rule over everyone would continue without disturbance. Thus the king could not be separated from his ruling power. Thus ends the Bhaktivedanta purports to Canto 4, Chapter 16 of the Srimad Bhagavatam titled Praise of King Prithu by the Professional Reciters, Texts 11 to 14. Om Agyanat Mirandasya Gyananjana Shlakaya Chakshurun Militamena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadam Ahiyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Utapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha श्री रूपम सागर जातम सहगना रघुनाथान्वितम तांस जीवम सात्वैतम सावधूतम परिजना सहितम कृष्ण चैतन्य देवम श्री राधा कृष्ण पदान सहगन ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश च नमा ओं विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते जयपताक स्वामिनिति नामिने नमाचार्य पदाय मिताय कृपा प्रदायिने गौरकृता दामदाय नगर ग्रामतारिणे नमा ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते गोपी परानदन दासे इति नामिने नमा ओं विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्ति वेदांत स्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वते देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात्या देशकारिणे वांछा कल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवास आदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे मुखम करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगायते गिरिं यत्कृपतमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुदिनतारिणं यत्कृपतमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवं श्री चैतन्य ईश्वरं कथाञ्चन स्मृते यस्मिन् दुष्करं सुकरं भवेत् विस्मृते विपरीतं स्यात् श्रीचैतन्यं नमामि तं सो इन दिस चैप्टर वी सी दैट किंग पृथु इज बीइंग प्रेज्ड बाय द प्रोफेशनल रिसाइटर्स And we know that King Prithu is a Shakti Avesh avatar, an empowered incarnation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here in these few verses, 11 to 14, a few of the aspects of Prithu Maharaj's glories are being brought out. In particular, the fact that King Prithu would be unapproachable by his enemies, even though they would appear to be very near him. So this shows the chivalrous nature of King Prithu. He is very powerful, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And so his enemies would find it difficult to approach him. So that's one characteristic of a powerful ruler, that by the influence of his powerful rule, he can keep enemies away. But interestingly, we soon come to this point in verse 13 that King Prithu did not treat, he treated friends and enemies alike. He was neutral. So we see this point that these are the characteristics of an impartial ruler, that King Prithu was so neutral that if his own son were punishable, he would not hesitate to punish him. On the other hand, if the son of his enemy were innocent, he would not engage in some intrigue in order to punish him. So here we see, first we see that, okay, King Prithu was unapproachable by his enemies. Then here it says that he was neutral. He didn't mind whether somebody is a friend or an enemy. So these are not contradictions. In fact, this is the characteristic of a great personality that Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita. We all know this verse from the 5th chapter, text 18. He says, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne Brahmana Gavihastini Shuni Chaiva Swapakacha Pandita Swamadarshinaha, which means a great learned person. He sees a Brahmana, then Gavi cow, Hastini elephant, dog Suni, and Shuni Swapaka dog eater. So this is the vision of a learned person. A learned person means a Pandita. So formerly, the kings were all expected to be very learned. And this is the vision of a learned person. They don't discriminate based on bodily aspects. And how is this How do they come to this platform? Because they're trained from the very beginning. So we see Krishna, he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he went to the Gurukul of Sandipuni Muni. And when he went there, what did he do? He was just like any other child. So he did all the menial duties of any other child. So that is the essential training that was given in the system of education in previous times, that nobody was given any special treatment. All children were treated equally. All of them had to do the same thing. So they grew up together. They did everything together on the same platform. So finally, when they were qualified and eligible to do their respective duties, this underlying fact of equality among all spirit souls, that they would understand. Although superficially there are differences, but they would see the essential reality. So they were trained in this vision of seeing everybody from the spiritual platform. And so this characteristic distinguishes modern rulers from Maharaj Prithu. Because Maharaj Prithu and all the leaders of the past were trained in this vision. They were trained to see everybody from the spiritual platform. What to speak of, this training not being there. In fact, the whole culture of modern education is based completely on the bodily concept of life. So, when one is in the bodily concept of life, everything that one learns is a mistake. So, and as Prabhupada explains, that the more we try to exploit the resources of material nature, the more we get entangled in the resources of material nature. So the modern leaders, by trying to exploit material nature, by trying to administer the material world based on the bodily concepts, are getting further and further and further entangled. So now, there are some examples which I thought of, which all of us know. When the moment we say somebody who is neutral, then we immediately think of Lord Ramachandra. We also think of Maharaj Yudhishthira. Yudhishthira was known as Dharmaraj, was considered always fair. In fact, he was considered so fair that when Krishna asked Yudhishthira in the battlefield of Kurukshetra to say that Ashwatthama was dead, he hesitated to say that because he was considered very fair. And our previous acharya has explained that ultimately what is fair is determined by Krishna. So because Maharaj Yudhishthira hesitated, so therefore he had to see the heavenly planets for a short while. So now, that aside, the point that I was trying to make was that Maharaj Yudhishthira is a perfect example of this Ajatashatru. Ajatashatru is one who has no enemies. So then we may ask, okay, Maharaj Prithu, it says that he was fair, he considered everybody, treated everybody equal. But nevertheless, Maharaj Prithu is also Ajatashatru, one who never had enemies, yet it says that his enemies were far away. So how do we understand this apparent difference? So Prabhupada explains that Ajatashatru means one who has no enemies, but that does not mean that, it means that the person whoever is being referred to, for example Maharaj Prithu or Maharaj Yudhishthira, they don't have enemies, but others may dislike them. They don't dislike anybody. That is the meaning of Ajatashatru. And then Prabhupada goes on to explain how Jesus Christ was crucified. He had no enemies, but some people may not like him. That's a different thing. But at least from his perspective, he has no enemies. So this is the right understanding. So I thought that from the Krishna book, there is an interesting excerpt about Maharaj Yudhishthira. This is from chapter 75 of the Krishna book, where Duryodhana, he is insulted after the Rajasuya sacrifice. So notice what Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami says. He says, "My dear King Parikshit, Your grandfather, King Yudhishthira, was a great soul. His congenial disposition attracted everyone to be his friend, and therefore he was known as Ajatashatru, one who never created an enemy. Yet we know that Duryodhan was an enemy of Yudhishthira Maharaj. But from what is Maharaj Yudhishthira's disposition? His congenial disposition attracted everyone. So his disposition was very congenial. And later, Prabhupada goes on to say, because he was a Vaishnava, a great devotee of Lord Narayan, he knew how to treat everyone well. So this is the point that we have been dealing with in this purport, about how Maharaj Prithu knew how to deal with everything very well, deal with everyone very well. The Mayavadi philosopher's endeavor to see everyone as God is an artificial attempt at oneness. But a Vaishnava or a devotee of Lord Narayana sees every living entity as part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, a Vaishnava's treatment of other living entities is on the absolute platform. As one cannot treat one part of his body differently from another part, because they all belong to the same body, a Vaishnava does not see a human being as distinct from an animal, because in both he sees the soul and the super soul seated together. So this is the same point that Krishna makes in the Bhagavad Gita. Vaishnava does not see a human being as distinct from an animal, because in both he sees the soul and the super soul seated together. So then, so this is the platform from which a real great saintly personality sees things. And previously, all kings were saintly personalities. And Prabhupada goes on to say a little more about Maharaj Yudhishthira in the same chapter. Those persons who had participated in the Rajasuya sacrifice, including the most cultured priests, the brahmanas who had assisted, the citizens of all varnas, and the kings, demigods, sages, saints, and citizens of Pitraloka, were all very much satisfied by the dealings of King Yudhishthira. And at the end, they happily departed for their residences. While returning to their homes, they talked of the dealings of King Yudhishthira, and even after a continuous talk of his greatness, they were not satiated. Just as one may drink nectar over and over again and never be satisfied. So this is the characteristic of a great personality. They are so glorious that just by reciting, that simply by reciting their glories over and over again, we still cannot find satiation. So here we see the professional reciters are glorifying Maharaj Prithu, and they're glorifying, they go on and on and on, because they're never satiated by glorifying Maharaj Prithu. So now one may think, okay, the Maharaj Prithu was the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. So it's very fortunate to be living in the kingdom of a king like Maharaj Prithu or Lord Ramachandra or Maharaj Yudhishthira. Because we all know that Krishna is the supreme controller, he is the primary controller. But here we see that Maharaj Prithu, the secondary controller of the universe, secondary controller of the planet, is also the Supreme Personality of God. So that's a very, very fortunate combination. Krishna, of course, is the primary controller eternally in all circumstances. But if the secondary controller, the king, also turns out to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that is a very fortunate combination. So then we may think, so it's very easy in the times of Maharaj Prithu to live a very Krishna conscious life. However, we understand, according to a Krishna conscious philosophy, whether it is during the time of a king like Maharaj Prithu or whether it is in the modern age, it is still possible to absolutely depend on Krishna. How? Because Krishna explains, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suhurdam Sarva Bhutanam Gyatva Mam Shantarachati. Which means, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. So he's
he is the proprietor, as we know, he is the primary controller, and he is also Suhurtam Sarvabhutanam. So this is very important to understand. What does this mean? Suhurtam Sarvabhutanam. Srila Prabhupada, in a lecture in Seattle in 1968, explains this point. What does this word Suhurt mean? So he says, Prabhupada explains that the Sanskrit language is a perfect language. In English, we just have the word friend. But in Sanskrit, we have three different terminology while referring to a friend. He says, there is Mitra, there is Bandhu, and there is Suhrit. And Prabhupada goes on to explain, Mitra means a social friend. Bandhu means official friend. And Suhrit means intimate friend. So among the three, social friend, official friend, Bandhu, and Suhrit. Suhrit is intimate friend. So among these three, the intimate friend is considered to be superior. Why is the intimate friend considered to be superior? Because the intimate friend, proper rights, is just like a parent or just like a devoted wife who has your best interest at heart. So Krishna says he is Suhrit, which means he is the most intimate friend of all living entities. So he is not only the supreme proprietor, but he is the most intimate friend of all living entities. And this is not just a theoretical fact, but it is a reality. It's not just some theoretical thing, of course it's a fact, but it's a reality, it's just a tangible reality. And we have to learn how to depend on Krishna. Just like Arjuna depends on Lord Kapila in the chapter Glories of Devotional Service, a devotee is described as Pitukshava Karunika, then Ajatashatrava Shantaha. The second line comes as Suhurda Sarvadehinam Ajatashatrava Shantaha and Sadhava Sadhubhushana. So, this Suhurda Sarvadehinam is also a characteristic of somebody who is very saintly. So Krishna is Suhrit, he is the best well-wisher of all the living entities, and a great saintly personality is also Suhrit. He is also a well-wisher of all the living entities. And a great saintly personality is also Ajatashatraha. So we have to come to this platform. We have to come to this platform of proper rights. Vaishnava means Titiksha Karunika, tolerant, very tolerant, tolerant to the utmost. So these qualities of Titiksha, Karunika, Surida Sarvadehina, Ajatashatrava, Shantaha, always peaceful. This is possible. We have to come to this platform of being the best well-wisher of all living entities. And we have to, first of all, we have to absolutely depend on Krishna. Then we have to give this Krishna consciousness to others and teach others also to be absolutely dependent on Krishna. So Prabhupada explains this as a person should be worshipable because he is non-envious. Sri Chaitanya Kripabharo. Such kind of position can be attained by one who has acquired the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Kripabharo Bhuvibhuvo Paravahantarako. Person can deliver the suffering humanity. So Srila Prabhupada gives us the method, such position, the position of being, coming to Titikshava Karunika, the position of coming to Surda Sarvadehina, Ajata Shatru. Immediately after that, Prabhupada says, Nirmatsaranam, a devotee is non-envious. And Prabhupada says, how is it possible? Such a position can be attained by one who has acquired the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. Sri Chaitanya Kripabharo Bhuvibhuvo Varavahantarako. So, the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu makes the most astonishing things possible. So, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Adi Leela, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Daya Parohe Vichar, Vichar Kurile, Vichar Kurite Chitte Pave Chamatkar, that the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is so great that if one tries to understand this mercy, one becomes very astonished. So, in this age, Lord Chaitanya is giving us this assurance. Just practice Krishna consciousness. In the other ages, Krishna put a condition, as Prabhupada explains. First surrender unto me, and then I will protect you. Sarva dharman paritejya mamekam sharanam vraja aham tam sarva pape mokshasyami masachaha. Sarva dharman paritejya, you do this, then I will protect you. So, but whereas Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he does not impose any condition, whatsoever, whether you are qualified or unqualified, we are still fit to receive the mercy of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Earlier we saw how in this chapter Prabhupada is explaining that that just like the residents of Vrindavan took shelter of Krishna, so Krishna protected them by lifting the Govardhan hill, because they were absolutely dependent on Krishna. So we can also be absolutely dependent on Krishna. We can also be absolutely dependent on Govardhan. In fact, since this point of absolute dependence came up, and also just as I mentioned now, that we may be qualified or not qualified, but Lord Chaitanya's mercy makes us possible, makes everything possible. So Raghunath Das Goswami writes in his glorification of Govardhan. He said, Nirupadi Karunena Sri Sachinandanena Twai Kapati Shatopi Twat Priyanarpitosmi Iti Kalo Mami Yogya Yogya Tam Tam Agranan Nija Nikata Nivasam Dehi Govardhanatvam. So he says, O Govardhan, I am a cheater and a rogue. Although I am a great cheater and a rogue, the greatly merciful Sri Sachinandana, who is most dear to you, has offered me unto you. Without considering whether I am qualified or unqualified, please bestow upon me a residence near your side. So we know that Rupa Goswami mentions that among the topmost holy places, the topmost is Radhakund, and the second is Govardhan. And here we see the mood of Raghunath Das Goswami. He says, I am a cheater and a rogue, yet the greatly merciful Sri Sachinandana, who is most dear to you, has offered me unto you. So this is our qualification. We may not be able to approach Krishna directly, but the greatly merciful Sri Sachinandana has offered us to Krishna. And this is the teaching of Srila Prabhupada. He constantly taught us, just depend on Krishna absolutely through the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And not only in our line, this is very nicely brought out yesterday, that Vedanta Desika in the line of Ramanujacharya gives a very nice example. He says that just like a king, so a king has has a palace, he has servants, he has so many different people to assist him. And all these servants, all of them, okay, they are qualified, so they enjoy the privileges also of the palace and the palatial facilities. But then there is another category of residents of the palace, which are the children of the servants. Now the children of the servants just happen to be connected to the servants. Just by virtue of their connection, they still enjoy the palatial facilities. So Vedanta Desika goes on to explain that we have the Supreme Lord, who can be compared to the king. Then we have his qualified servants, who are his associates, who are his pure devotees. Then we have his children. So he says that we are like those children. We have no qualification. We are simply connected to the king, just like the king's servant is connected. The servant's children are connected to the servant, and the servant is connected to the king. The servant is the one who is actually fully qualified. It's not that the children of the servants are qualified. So similarly, we may not be qualified, but we are connected to the servants of Krishna, who are fully qualified. And by virtue of being connected to the servants of Krishna, Krishna gives us his full mercy. And Vedanta Desika goes on to give another analogy. He says that just like a child formerly we know that in Gurukul, the children would go out to beg Bhiksham Dehi. Because Prabhupada explains that is the method in which they would maintain the Gurukul. One is, of course, the king would